Hey, what's up, everybody? Fast Freddy here for another exciting episode of Fast Freddy Rocks Youngstown, coming to you live and direct from the state-of-the-art Youngstown studios here in downtown Youngstown. With me, Joe Danier, who's co-host and guest, I don't know exactly what all you do here, but you just roll with it.
I'm easy.
All right. Anyways, good evening, everybody. Good to see you, Joe. We haven't been on for a couple of weeks. Yeah. You know, I've been having a ton of stuff to do, man. We have a lot of stuff that has been going on, and we're really busy at Y103. We've been heading out to a lot of shows. We were at Steve Vai at Packard Music Hall last night. Was that last night or the night before? Night before, Tuesday night. I'll tell you what, that guy is so amazing on the guitar. The sounds that he makes are just crazy. And he has played for Frank Zappa, so I think that's where he probably got some of his experimental side. And then he's played for like David Lee Roth and Whitesnake and people like that. You know, he's like one of these, guitar virtuosos, you know, what they call these gunslingers or these, you know, guitar gods that are just like, they're just out there. And his style, though, is really unique. There was no singing. It was 2 hours of instrumentals. So, I mean, some people got a little bored towards the end,
right?
You know, but I think the real guitar geeks and the people that are really into guitar players and that sort of thing, they loved it. And, his sound is just so unique. It's a little bit of everything, you know. It's like, it's got some rock in there and it's got some jazz and it's got like that fusion and new age and it's kind of trippy, like, you know, prog rock and a little Pink Floyd. And it's really hard to describe. He's got this sound that's just like one of a kind, and everybody had a great time. And we got another show coming up Saturday night. And it's going to be Robert Cray at the Robbins Theater in downtown Warren. And Robert Cray is a blues man, and he's been around for a while, and he's played with Eric Clapton. He's played with all the blues greats. And we're going to talk to Robert Cray a little later on. Well, I had a chance to talk to him earlier this week, and we're going to play back our conversation a little later on. And I'll tell you what, if you're looking for a great time on Saturday night and you're looking for an excellent night of music, that's where you'll want to be, at the Robbins Theater. It's going to be a great show.
I love that they're doing those shows. Love it.
Well, the thing about the Robbins Theater, and I keep saying this, first of all, they're celebrating their 100th year. The theater is 100 years old, and it's completely renovated, and this place is really, really, really nice. And the thing about it is all the seats are kind of up close, and I really like seeing acts in these smaller halls, you know. They're smaller acts, but they're still national caliber. You know, Robert Cray, you're going to see a guy that was on stage with Eric Clapton, with B.B. King, with John Lee Hooker, and who knows who else, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan. As a matter of fact, he was playing with Stevie Ray Vaughan, on stage, the last song that Stevie Ray Vaughan played, Sweet Home Chicago in Wisconsin, before the helicopter crash. And it was Robert Cray and Buddy Guy. And I think Stevie's brother, Jimmy, might have been there, if I'm not mistaken. Eric Clapton and all these greats were doing great. Sweet Home Chicago. So this is the kind of guy you're getting. And you're going to see him up close. You know, you go to a lot of these shows at like Blossom or Coliseum. Well, I still call it the Coliseum. That shows you how old I am. You know, Gund Arena. It's not even Gund Arena anymore. What is it? It's
the Q? No, it's not even the Q anymore.
It's the Field House, the Rocket Mortgage Field House.
Right.
Yeah, at the Rocket, man. At the Rocket Mortgage Field House. You know, to me, it's still, like I say, Gund Arena. And I still call it the Coliseum. The Coliseum has been gone for I don't know how many years. That's like people that call it Star Lake. It's always been Star Lake. They have had 50 million different names there. It seemed like every year they were changing sponsors. It was the Coca-Cola Pavilion, and it was the PPG Arena, or it was the it went through like 10 different names, and everybody just called it Star Lake. So I don't know why they just didn't keep calling it Star Lake. Now it's back to Star Lake. I think now they call it like the whatever the sponsor is Pavilion at Star Lake.
Nice.
That's, people just call it Star Lake. And you know, when you go to these kind of shows, unless you really got good seats and you're in the pavilion and you're up close. There's a big difference when you could actually see the guy 100 feet from you.
And not actually on a Jumbotron. Playing.
Right.
Not a Jumbotron, the guy.
Yes, right. You see the guy and he is standing there and you're watching him play and you can see the interaction between the band and everything else. So that's what I like about that place. Plus, it's close to home. There's a lot of parking in downtown Warren, free parking. And there's a lot of cool places down there where you can grab a drink. And even at the theater, they have a place where you could have a drink. They put in a little club there now inside, so before the show. But there's a lot of good places in Warren where you can grab a bite to eat, have a couple of drinks. And the best part about these shows, either at Packard Music Hall or at Robbins Theater, you know, if you live in Niles and the show's over at 10:30, you're home by 10:45. So cool. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday night or whatever.
Right.
You're home by before 11 o'clock or at 11 o'clock on a, you know, so-called school night. So that's what I really like about it. And the prices are right. The ticket prices are right. The drink prices are right. Everything is right about it. So hopefully Saturday night, you know, you come on down and see Robert Cray. You'll definitely be glad that you did. And we're going to talk to Robert, like I said, a little later on. Let's see who's checking in. Elizabeth rolling in. Hi, Elizabeth. Donut in the house. What's up, Donut? How are you? Paul Hogan, happy birthday to the Marine Corps. Yep. Today is Marine Corps anniversary, Marine Corps birthday. And, of course, his buddy, his brother. I don't know if they're buddies, but it's his brother. The Hogs is a Marine. And, hey, Paul, happy retirement, too. He's retired from the Niles Police Department. That's got to be nice.
It is.
The retirement thing, it got to be nice. And then we got Jay Bird, speaking of retirement. He's checking in. My sister Lynn is checking in. She always wants to be a part of the show. She always wants to, like, ride on my coattails and become friends with people that I'm friends with and things like that. You'd think she would go out and maybe have a life of her own. But no, that's what she has to do.
Shot
you know,
across
yeah.
the bow.
Yeah, yeah. Now
this is
she's
how
gonna,
it ratchets up.
You know, now she's gonna, you know, horn into the podcast. She'll be down here before you know it. She'll be sitting here at some point, you know.
Maybe you'll get a co-host out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
For the price of
yeah,
one.
The Fred and Lenny show. And she'll do that. I'll be like at the Ice House or something for the Ohio State game, and you know, she'll come like, you know, horning in and wanting to talk on the mic and things like that, you know. So but, what are you going to do? You know, you can't pick your relatives.
You're still loved here, Lenny. Mm. And also, hey, Paul.
The espresso is tasting delicious tonight.
Perfect. Hit the spot, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So a little later, we'll talk, we'll play that Robert Cray interview. And we have been trying to do this show since Halloween. You know, but things did, you know, a couple of things, we had technical difficulties and you know, we just been putting it off. And a couple of things came up with me and, you know what? Happy Veterans Day to everybody too. We salute all our veterans. We thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And, we definitely appreciate that too. So, cheers.
Cheers to the best.
And whether you enlisted, whether you were drafted, or maybe you're just a veteran because you screwed up somewhere along the line and the judge told you either go to the military or
go to jail.
Yeah, right. But I'm a veteran now. That's me, you know. But, you know, however you served, you know, we salute you. So anyways, we started, we were going to do this, and I know you're a fan of the, before we get to the fan of the paranormal, or I guess this is in the realm of the paranormal, paramoil. I can't even talk. I can't believe people even tune this in. You know, you saw a UFO the other day, huh?
Yeah, yesterday, last night. I went outside to have a smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
And I live right by a hospital. So we usually have those medvac helicopters.
Right.
So I'm used to seeing like weird things in the sky from the helicopters. But I saw this one that it was a blue light and it looked like a searchlight that was shining down super bright.
Uh-huh.
And it was just hovering there. So I figured it was one, you know, either the police were looking for somebody or whatever. So let me show you a picture.
Okay. You got a picture here.
Yeah. I got a video and a picture. Let me cue up the picture first.
And see, Joe isn't like some hillbilly in West Virginia. That's usually where you end up finding these things out in the country, somewhere out in the mountains, the mountain folk. No anal probe involved or anything.
No anal probe.
Okay.
All right. So I took two little stills. So this is the blue light. Let me put that on screen here.
Yeah.
All right. So I've zoomed it in a little bit. I think I got one more. Yeah. Uh-huh. So this is that thing. So it's just this, it's a blue bar, right?
And yeah.
It's super bright. Like there's this big fluorescent light
right.
in the sky.
Right.
And then, so this thing didn't fly like an airplane, right? It started like tumbling at me, like a, and I'll throw the video.
Okay. You weren't into the Buffalo Trace or anything.
No. Buffalo Trace.
And so, it was a cigar you were smoking.
I was smoking a cigar.
Okay.
All right. So here's this thing. You see how it's like end
end? Yeah.
And then I'm going to zoom in on it a little bit. And it gets blurry because it's pixelated. But you can definitely see that it's got like a weird shape and it's tumbling rather than flying.
Yeah. Now, have you reported this to anybody? Have you showed this to anybody?
No, I posted this about
an hour. Oh, this is just brand spanking new.
Brand spanking new. So from last night.
You know what? Share that on my page, too.
I will.
Yeah.
Isn't that freaking weird?
Wow. And it was quiet.
Super quiet. No noise whatsoever. It flew right over my head. So I'm getting the camera over top of my head, and it flew right past me.
Now, that is crazy. Yeah, you got to report that to some group.
Yeah. See what it is. See if there was any weird experimental aircraft or whatever was flying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that definitely doesn't look like anything.
Yep.
And the color too.
Yeah, blue.
That blue color.
Freaking like a aqua blue, super bright, like a LED, like a halogen bright.
Yeah,
light.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the color seems a bit odd.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a regular, I mean, it, you know, it's you know, I mean, of course it's a color, but it doesn't it looks more like it's not something you would look in the sky at night and see and say, oh, yeah, look at that greenish blue.
Helicopter.
Yeah. And the way it's like flopping around and stuff, it almost looks like a bug or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bug on your phone or anything.
It was way up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it wasn't like you're under a light. And, you know, that happened to me one time when the tornado hit Niles and the power was out and I had a flashlight. And all of a sudden, I see something really creepy on the wall, and my mind is just going crazy because I'm thinking, you know, what could that possibly be? What is that? Maybe the tornado kicked up something or whatever, right? And I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, oh, I gotta be careful here. You know, I'm thinking, where's
the Mothman's
coming? Yeah. We're something, you know, and then it turned out that it was a tiny, tiny little spider on the flashlight, and it projected it to be the size of the room.
I'll get you.
Whoa, boy, you know. And I'm thinking maybe there's something there, and the tornado blew it into the house or something.
Uh-huh.
Look at that pause. And it was a tiny, tiny little spider on the flashlight. I was like, okay, duh. No, but this.
Weird.
Looks like something crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody else, well, once you post that and start getting the word out, now you're going to be on for Rivers, aren't you? Are you going to mention this?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I love talking aliens. So, oh,
okay. Yeah. Well, you're in the right place if you're talking aliens, man.
There's amen a lot to that.
Of them. There's a lot of them out there. But yeah. That should be interesting. I can't wait to see, until
see if something comes
some
it,
other
yeah.
people. Yeah, make sure you post that on my page too, man, because, you know, we got some people out there that would just love to see that. You know, the color and the movement really make you wonder, you know.
Sure. Nothing like I've ever seen before.
Yeah. That is something. I can't wait for people to see that. That might really be something. You might be on TMZ or something.
If I disappear, man, I'm telling you, you got to have my back.
Yeah, see, well, you know, you're into all this stuff here, you know, and, you know, like the Elon Musk and the space thing. And, you know, they know you want to go into outer space and maybe they're coming to look for you. You know, I don't know where you're transmitting this stuff and where you're beaming it to. You're like some kind of mad scientist.
Maybe,
I don't know what you're up to.
Maybe
I don't
I'm
know
just
where,
visiting here I, and
yeah,
I'm collecting
exactly.
specimens, you know?
Yeah. You know, we got to keep an eye on you, you know, because you're that mad scientist.
But I'm
going to
put myself on the radar by sharing some of my peeps coming down here. Right? Yeah,
well, that's true. But maybe they know something and they are coming here to contact you about something. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You got something good you're working on?
I got both sides pissed off at me now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that looks pretty wild. That definitely looks pretty wild. That should be something that should be investigated.
I agree.
You know, I look at that and it's not like, oh, maybe it's a space station or that's an airplane or something. That there is definitely something bizarre.
Yeah, the tumbling. That's what did it for me. Like, what the hell
yeah,
is this
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The way it was floating around like yeah. that. And I mean, it's obvious that it's flopping around like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what becomes of that. I can't wait. That's okay. Pretty wild. So anyways, we wanted to do this Halloween show and we wanted to talk about, you know, some of the haunted places or just scary places around the area that back in the day before there were haunted houses and things like that, where we would go out and actually try to find haunted fun. You know, that used to be a big thing. A lot of these episodes were fueled by warm quarts of 3-2 low power Stroh's beer yes. and Boone's Farm wine.
Uh-huh. And that's six, how you connect the spirits.
Yes. And that helps bring it in. That's why I'm wondering about what you saw uh-huh. over there. So anyways, you know, that used to be the thing, you know. Now, back in the day, the first, like, you know, commercial haunted houses, I think the first few of them were in that old church where they have the model railroading display on 4 Mile okay. Run Road. Yeah, that was one of them. Right. And then they had the Hubbard Haunted House, which was another original one. And the Niles JC's had a haunted house. Right. So those were like the three big ones at the time. But at this point in time, we were out looking for our own real haunted stuff. And there were a lot of different places around the area that people would go. And first and foremost was in the Lowellville area, right on the state line. And that was called Zombieland. Now, Zombieland was spooky. And it's still spooky to this day. You know, there are just some areas, and I think every town or every place has this area where it's just like, this place is spooky. And that's how Zombieland was. Zombieland is down off of 224 between Lowellville, right on the state line. There used to be that church there on the corner, and you would go down the hill to, they called it Puerto Rican Bridge at the time. And it was like, if your name was on the bridge people underneath would come and grab you. Mm. And when the church was still open, you know, they had a statue of the Blessed Mother. And if she was weeping, it was not safe to go down there. And if she had her arms open, then it was safe to go down. Well, I don't think she ever, you know,
she never weeped.
Yeah. Or no, I think she was always weeping.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was never safe to go down there. And once you got down there, it was just a creepy area. And like I say, it still is. And the zombies were really, there were some people there that had some deformities okay. and they lived down there. You know, I think they had water on the brain or something. And they, okay. I mean, they were a little, you know, and they just lived down there, but people went down there and messed with them all the right. time. So that would piss them off. But everybody wanted to go to Zombieland and see the zombies and stuff. And, you know, I guess the people who live there, I guess they have shot at people and things like that, which made it even more scary. Mm-hmm. But then once you were down there, yeah, we'll get to the Green Man there. We'll get to the Green Man, Anthony. So, yeah, the Green Man is also in that area. So when you got down there, it was just spooky. And as a matter of fact, there was a murder there. A young girl got murdered down there at one point, you know, in recent times. But the whole area was just spooky. It was eerie. It was dark. It was away from everything. And another thing they had down in Zombieland was Hookman. And there was like this torch at an oil well or a gas well, you know, where the excess went off. So you would go down there and you would walk back down to the woods. Now, the last time I was down there, it seemed like they were building houses and stuff around there. So I don't know if Green Man is, or the Hook Man was happy about that or what. But the legend of that was you would go back there and you would light this torch. And when the torch went out, that meant that the Hook Man was coming. And, you know, he'll grab your he'll grab the bumper of your car with his hook, and oh man, if he catches you, so you would go walking back into this woods, like every little sound you hear, and you know, you would light the thing, and at first it wouldn't light, and then it would come on, and then you know the flame would go out, and everybody would just take off running. And then, of course, to be a smart ass, if the last guy didn't get to the car in time, you would shut the door and drive away and leave him standing there.
You guys are jerks.
Like, dude, help me. Get back here, you assholes. You know, so you had that. And then you also, up in that area, you had the glowing grave, which was at that one cemetery up there by Ville Marie. And supposedly, you know, there was something that the grave glowed. And if it was glowing, you know, green, it meant that, you know, or whatever. I forget. But it was spooky, too. I think just the fact that you were in these areas that just seems spooky, and you know, that you would get out of the car or you're driving through this cemetery in the middle of the nowhere in Pennsylvania in zombie land, you know, it was really something. Now, Green Man was over by Coppell, Pennsylvania, I think 351. And he was out there, and he was real. The Green Man was real. He was, as a young child, I think he was trying to get a bird's nest or something off of a trolley wire, and he got severely electrocuted, and his face was just deformed, and he looked like a monster, you know, and but he was a nice guy. His name was Ray, and he would just wander around the back roads at night because he had nothing else to do, you know, and he wanted to get out, and a lot of people would go see the Green Man. And they would talk to him, and a lot of people were cool with him, and they would bring him beer and cigarettes, and you know, he would hang out and chat. But then there were some other people that just messed with the dude, you know, throw stuff at him and tried to beat him up, and you know, just real idiot things. Right. But he was known far and wide because he was over there by that Beaver Falls area. So everybody from Youngstown would go down there, everybody from Pittsburgh would come up there. And the Green Man was legendary. And once again, he's on these back roads. I think it was 351. And it was just crazy, you know. I think the whole thing was, it was just spooky in those areas. And so dark, like my sister said, it was really dark. Even in zombie land, man, you went down there and it was pitch black. You know, and if you would, that would be another thing, you know, you'd turn the lights off on the car. Everybody be like, whoa, you know, and that would be another thing, you know.
I still want to do this. I've not been to any of those places, but this sounds intriguing.
Well, I you got to find some warm 3-2 Stroh's beer, number one, and some Boone's Farm. And if you're really feeling adventurous, then you'll want to try some Mad Dog. But of course, it's not like it used to be. And like, I think there are some houses being built by like where Hook Man used to be. Now, Hook Man wasn't real, but Green Man was. Okay. Our buddy Frank Sesich with the Deadbeat Poets, he wrote a song about the Green Man. So you guys might want to look that up, you know, the Green Man by the Deadbeat Poets. And it's about, you know, Ray Robinson, I think his last name was. But yeah, now those places were spooky, though. You know, I mean, it was really scary, you know, and you'd have a carload of people, and that's what that would be your big thing, you know, for the night. It's like, you know, heading down to zombie land, you know, down along the river there. And even just the way the river was and the trees and everything. And, you know, if you would go down there on a night like this with a full moon, I bet it looks pretty scary.
Heck yeah.
I bet it looked pretty scary. And that was, what beer are we drinking tonight? Lenny wants to know what beer we're drinking. We don't have any beer.
Zero.
Do we do?
We have some.
Grab me something, right, man. Grab cool. me something good.
I'll give a random one.
Yeah, grab something out of there, some kind of holiday cheer, because I'm almost done with my my cup of Joe here. Oh, okay. Hey, Ashley and Jay Bird and them are out here. Okay, come on in. Yeah, okay, so we got those guys out there.
All right, do you want Boston Lager or Old Fizzywig?
You know what? I've had the Boston Lager. Let me be adventurous. I'm going Old Fizzywig. Is this going to make me see a UFO? I want to see whatever's going to make me see a UFO later.
Hey, guys. Bearing gifts.
All right.
Well, here's
a beer. Well, thank you. Have a seat, you guys. And we're going to. Hey, how are you, Ash? What's up, man? How you been, brother? Good to see you. Good to see you. We got a little studio audience now, and they'll be jumping in here at some point in time. Yeah, we're going to talk about Crybaby Bridge. That's on the list of things to talk about. We're going to have to get you up here. Okay, so you know what? Why don't we head over to Crybaby Bridge next? Okay, Ash, grab a mic here for a second. Now, Crybaby Bridge, that's a good one. That's on Egypt Road down by Salem. And that's also a spooky place. You know, you go down these roads. That's one of those places you go down those roads and there is nothing down there. So tell us a little bit about your experience there at Crybaby Bridge.
Crybaby Bridge was just, I don't know, we were young and dumb and just went out there and a bunch of us, you know, drinking, getting high. I mean, go down there and they're like, oh, listen, when you start hearing babies cry or just some spooky crap happen, it scares the crap out of you when you're younger.
Oh, yeah. It's even that. That's one. Yeah, the 3-2 beer will do it to you. And then you advance to these other things where you start seeing the UFOs and stuff, you know. That's how it starts, Joe. You start at a Crybaby Bridge. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Did he find my stash I brought with me from Arizona?
Boy, Joe, I'll tell you, a lot of people are have a lot of theories about your UFO here.
Are you sure it wasn't a drone?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have a lot of those out there.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe it was some kind of Russian drone from Iraq or something.
Maybe.
From Iran.
You never know. You never know. I mean.
Yeah, so Joe, did you think of, did you think it was a drone maybe? Was that drone?
A drone is more like a hover, like a helicopter.
Yeah.
That was a flopper.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like rolling, like a barrel roll.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, that's the thing about Crybaby Bridge. I guess the whole story was that was some woman had a baby and she couldn't care for it. And they were starving and she threw the baby in the water and then she ended up dying. And to this day, you hear the
still hear the baby cry. And,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is.
And being down there, that's down there by those coke ovens and stuff, right?
Down. Oh, my God. Going down there. I mean, it's just it's amazing. And it's just you just don't know what you're going to expect. And I mean, going especially in the middle of the night and you guys go down there and you hear the stuff and then the fog starts coming in. And of course, then you're like, oh, what the hell's behind you? And you're like, OK. Run like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, that's some fun stuff. Now, another one they have down there, Joe, this is one you might want to get on with your ghost hunting stuff is what is it called? The Ghost Bride. The Ghost Bride of Beaver Creek. And that's a what's that?
Gretchen's Lock, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the Ghost Bride of Beaver Creek. And supposedly something happened to her and it was on her wedding night and her husband died or whatever. And she was buried in her wedding gown. And I think it's August 14th or August 17th. Every year on August 14th or August 17th, if you go down there on that full moon, supposedly you can hear her and you can see her. And if she touches you, you'll become young and pretty and good looking. Now, I don't know how.
She hasn't touched you.
You know, I was going to say. Now, well, here's the thing, you know, because they said that if she touches you, you'll become all that, but then you'll drop dead. But so I think that's untrue because you look like this. You obviously, I've been touched and I'm still here to talk about it. So maybe that one there isn't true. That one might not be true. So that one could be true, but yeah, those are really two. If you want to go down there, the Crybaby Bridge, which is very, very spooky.
Yes.
You know, I would say out of all of them. Well, then we were talking about another one over in Greenville called Spook Hill. Now Spook Hill is on Beale Road. Now we've been out around there on our motorcycles and stuff. It's on the back of Greenville by transfer. You know, just off 18 back there, maybe three, that might be 351. I forget which one it is, but it's around there. And I was out at that one before too. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And when I was at that one, I definitely felt something there. It was like one of those things where you're walking up this road and it was kind of like, ooh, that doesn't feel right. You know,
somebody else is there with you.
Yeah. Sometimes you can feel that. And the legend of Spook Hill is that a woman was in a carriage and her family were going home from somewhere and the carriage crashed and she got killed. And to this day, her ghost is still trying to find her kids that were in the carriage. And you see this ghost light with this lantern. And there's a lot of people that said they have saw that. Now, I don't know if they advanced from the, shrooms, from the 3-2 Strohs to the shrooms, and that made it more realistic. I'm not sure. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge your spirit, you know, your supernatural powers or what you're seeing? Yeah. Who's that?
James.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey James, how are you, man? Boy, we got the whole Jay Bird family here. The whole damn family, fan damnly. We have the whole fam damnly here. Yeah. This, what is this here, Joe? This old, fizzle wig, Samuel Adams, old fizzle wig. You ever hear that? It's good. It's good. It's rich and sweet. Like the character, that inspired it. This beer is festive and worthy of a celebration all its own. Bursting with spices of the season. It's a full body, deep malt character with notes of sweet toffee and rich dark caramel. And do you say caramel or caramel? Are you a caramel or caramel? Anybody? We caramel. Taking a vote? Caramel? Caramel?
Caramel with the pinky extension.
Hey, Karen Kennedy checking in. Hi, Karen. We have, you know, we were taking some, attendance on bike nights, and you know, towards the end there, you know, Karen kind of fell off. So I hope she has a good excuse for not being around, you know, last couple ones anyways. Oh, okay, man. Well, let me finish with these and then we'll get then you could jump in the chair and you could talk about some of your favorites.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Ash, you want to
get the old man up here?
Yeah. Get the old man up here because there's one more haunted place I want to talk about and then we could, you know, we'll just start swapping some stories here. Another place is out in Hartford at the Five Points in Hartford. Now that was like the Trumbull County place to go. And they had out in Five Points, they had the ghost lights from the train, the ghost train. And they had this place called Hatchet Hollow down along the railroad tracks. And I'll tell you, that was another one that was you walk down there and it just doesn't feel right. You know, the story behind Hatchet Hollow was some farmer, you know, killed his wife and. You know, there's still some bad vibes down there. And it was just one of those things when you walk around there and it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. The trees just don't look right or whatever. There's just something really spooky in that area. As a matter of fact, that I think that Kenneth Byros killed that one woman out there along those railroad tracks in that Five Point area. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that.
Oh, yeah. And then another thing they had out there supposedly was Domain Dog. Domain Dog was supposed to be this mean, like, you know, Cujo or whatever, Cujo type dog. And, I didn't find Domain Dog when I was out there, but we did find remnants when I stepped in some remnants of Domain Dog. So I'm going to say he's true. I'm going to say he's real because, that was another place. And then the fact that it was at Five Points, you know, and
you brought up ghost lights. Now the ghost lights I knew was out off of Duck Creek.
In
the 24 area.
Right.
You'd drive through and the fog would be heavy. And all of a sudden you see your red taillights.
Yeah.
You know, that was my ghost lights.
The one
in Hartford, I didn't really get to go see. Then you had the mutes up in Ashtabula where the train trestle that collapsed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Oh, where was I going with that? I think I need a little more old fizzle wig. It helps me think good. It helps me think good. I'm fizzling out. no, what were we talking about before? Ghost Lights. Okay, Duck Creek Road. Yeah, that was another good one. And remember, Crazy Kate used to live out there on Galt Road. Now, she wasn't haunted. That was another crazy person. A crazy person that people would mess with is what that happened to be.
Yeah, the poor unfortunate soul. And yeah, she was something out there by the Girl Scout camp and at the end of Meander Drags.
Right. Yeah. Galt Road, right out there. Yeah. Yeah. And Crazy Kate, we went into her house after, you know, she was gone and, you know, people painted some pentagrams in there and stuff. But she wasn't haunted. She was just a crazy person, you know, mentally, a person with mental problems that people would go screw with is what that boiled down to.
Yeah, I never really did hear why she hated the cars and the people and she'd come out swearing and swinging stuff.
Because they keep coming by her house all day and all night, all liquored up, trying to see the crazy spooky lady, the witch lady. You know, that's why. That's why they think that, you know.
That was good times.
Yeah, you know, you know, I don't even think you could do that anymore. You know, I think just the way that things are. Yeah, you know, and you know, nowadays you go to some of these places, I think your chance of getting shot is a lot greater. You know, your chances of getting arrested by the police is a lot greater. You know, back then in those days, they didn't really mess with you. They weren't out to look to bust you for DUI. And, you know,
days to take your beer and empty it out in a ditch and tell you, now you go home. Don't let me catch you in the car.
Right. You know? And the thing was, if they would tell you that, you would go and you would go home. You know, right. You wouldn't be out there going, yeah, screw these guys or give them a hard time. You would just be sitting there going, oh, I'm glad I got out of here. You know, I sure hope my old man wasn't listening on the police scanner, you know,
get your butt tan good and proper that way, you know,
but that was the thing too. I mean, you know, if you had some beer or something, it'd make you pour it out or they would keep it themselves. Say they got you early on and you got a brand new 12 pack or a case.
We're confiscating. Yeah. I catch you driving. We're taking this in as evidence.
But then that's what you would do though. You would go to somebody's house and then you would sit there and, you know, and then you'd be peeking out like thinking, you think it's safe to go? Can I go home now? Or
are they going to get me?
Yeah. Are they going to get me? Is that guy looking for me now? You know, but it was a different time. So yeah, I wouldn't for kids today. I think they missed out on that whole thing.
We had such a simpler time and it was so fun and you could go and do good hearted fun things and just, yeah, now you can't.
Yeah, I could just see somebody now, you know, going down through zombie land with a car full of beer and six people in the car. I mean, you would be in jail so fast. They would pound your car and
give them beer and cigarettes.
Yeah.
There was no harm. Nobody was hurt. Nothing.
No.
Your haunted places. Oh, God. The fun things. And mine was Mansfield Prison. Go up and do the prison stay overnight. It's really
now, Joe. Awesome. Let's get Joe in here too. Joe, you went down to the Mansfield Prison, didn't you?
Yeah.
Come on, give Joe here a little space. Yeah, you know. So, what was it like down there for both of you guys? You know,
did you take the tour early so that you knew which areas were hot and which areas were not?
Yeah, we had a ghost hunting group that gave us a tour beforehand to tell us what all happened in the different areas. It was amazing.
In this area, there is a gentleman. He was a cop. I think he's now our dog warden. And if you ever get the chance, you want to go on a ghost hunt with Dave Nelson down to Mansfield Prison. This guy has the EMF meters and dude, he is Ghostbusters. Okay.
And Joe got that stuff
ball to go with. But when you go with somebody that's truly into it, it's very interesting.
For sure.
Another prison that I did was the Northeast Penitentiary. I think it is where Al Capone was. Philadelphia. Again, the haunted prison tours are just something else to go on. It is a whole It gives you the willies.
Yeah, because you know the amount of evil that has been in that place and the fact that people have been killed in like the electric chair or executions, all that kind of stuff, man. I mean, you're putting all that bad mojo, all that bad vibes, all that bad energy concentrated into one place where all these evil people that have chopped people up and killed people and shot people with no remorse or anything, and you got these souls just floating around in there.
What do you think the most haunted room was in Mansfield Prison? Do you remember?
The thing we had most was that there was a little attic room where they – did you hear about the attic?
Is that the one with the cross on the floor?
No, not the cross.
Okay.
So it's the attic room.
Yeah.
So in the early 1900s, a local prison, one that was close by, burnt down. And so they took all of the inmates from that prison and put them in this attic room. No bars, no cells, just hundreds of people in this attic room. So you can imagine what kind of stuff went on in this room. Man. So we spent a couple hours in the dark, quiet attic, and it was the spookiest place I've ever been in.
Now, were you getting any readings on your gear or anything?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we had a couple lights fly across the room when we were up there, and it was just spooky. It was really crazy.
Wow. But wow.
The most haunted room in the whole prison? The chapel.
Really?
Really.
Joe's shaking his head yes, too.
That's a place right there.
Why do you think?
They didn't really say, but they did say that it was because that was one of the main areas where everybody could get together. And again, you had very few prison guards and stuff. So, and a lot of murders and stuff took place in that chapel.
Wow.
And the chapel was the center part of the prison. So everybody had to go through the chapel to get to every other place.
Now, when you were in a chapel, did you get some readings and things like that?
It was too
bright. Or is it too bright and too many people? Yeah, probably too much traffic.
Too much going on.
Yeah,
quiet or dark enough.
Yeah.
And then when you come up to the top of the steps out of the warden's office, and there's no windows, but there's about 4:35 o'clock. There's a cross in the middle of the floor that's lit up. No explanation for it. There's a cross in the middle of the floor. That is one of the strangest places I had ever been to, was the Mansfield prison.
Now, Karen says that Moundsville is even better.
Ooh, haven't been to Moundsville yet. Or the two places, the TB Sanatorium in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Now, I hear that place is pretty wild. I hear there's all kind of haunted kind of stuff going on in that place.
And then there was the insane asylum in Philadelphia, and you go down through the tunnels through the Morgan stuff, and that is supposed to be another hot spot.
That sounds off the hook.
That puts the hair on the back of your neck. It just makes it raise right
up. Yeah, well, you figure, you know, all the evil stuff that had to go on there too, and the way they would treat people and stuff where they had really no idea, you know, what kind of experimental things are doing these people's brains and what brought these people there to begin with. And you figure, man, maybe we have no real ways to treat these people like we have now. So it was probably like a free-for-all in that place.
Could you even imagine? But I mean, honestly, to go in these places and, like I said, have people there with the equipment to sit and monitor. Mansfield, you'll see them up in the middle of the prison sitting there, and there's a tennis ball, and they put it in the middle of the floor. And if you're here, roll the ball towards me. And, dude, there are so many people take that stuff so serious. And
well, Joe, hey, Joe, come back over here now. What were some of your, like, more interesting moments at the Mansfield Penitentiary? What were some of the things that you thought were – some kind of sign or something that was kind of like, boy, that's a paranormal occurrence.
So I guess the biggest one for me was there's this challenge where you walk the cell block in complete dark and without a light. So you're walking by all these black cells that are opened up. And the first couple, no big deal. But once you get further away from people, like, it's super tight. And then you feel like things looking at you as you're walking by, and you can't see anything, but you could just feel that something is in those cells.
See, now, solitary confinement was one that blew my mind. Now, there's no power in the whole Mansfield prison. And we're down walking through solitary.
And this is nighttime.
Oh, yeah, you're there all night long.
Oh, dude. You stay overnight.
Oh, yeah, they give you pizza and pop. It's a whole night ordeal. You go up there at 5 o'clock and take the tour so that you know the layout of the prison to get back into the mainstream. But when you go down into solitary, it has all that old milk house sort of ceramic block, okay? And they said that they kept solitary like 90 degrees, and there's no window.
Uh-huh.
No power in this prison. The one cell, the fluorescent light kept flickering. Now, me, I'm a non-believer on that one, so I hid, and people come in, I grabbed ankles.
Okay. Oh, you're being a dick. Yeah, so what you were being a paranormal dick. Okay.
But that place gave you the willies.
Now Ken says that Moundsville is really scary. He saw a ghost there. His grandfather was a guard there, and he's been on tours there. That might have to be something you got to put on your list here, man. West by God. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the Indian burial grounds or something? Moundsville?
Yeah. That's why they call it Moundsville. Yeah. They have some Indian mounds there. And now they shot a movie one time at that prison. I remember my dad.
Redemption?
No, no.
Oh, Moundsville.
Yeah, in Moundsville, my dad was working down there on a high rise. This had to be 1968, 1969, somewhere in there. And he was working on a high rise down there in Moundsville. And they were shooting a movie, and it was called Fool's Parade. And it had George Kennedy. It was like a B movie. But we went down there and watched it. You know, they had an old steam engine, and that was part of the movie and stuff. And well, it was kind of crazy. You would see the steam engine wasn't running very far. If you watch the movie and stuff, you know, it'd be like, hey, these guys are hobos and are hopping these trains and stuff like that. But it was really, they probably went 100 yards, 200 yards up and down the track. But that was pretty interesting. Yeah, Lenny, it was before you. Yeah, so Karen and Ken both seem to think that Moundsville is the place you got to go.
I'm thinking, well, is that something year-round that's open? Or
I don't know.
It's only seasonal.
I don't know.
I mean, you go up to the you keep looking at that bottle, dude.
Yeah, the old Fizzlewig is actually pretty good. I would recommend it for your holiday beer drinking pleasure. The old Fizzlewig. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Mansfield is open year round. You can go up and do those tours and stuff, but the Moundsville I've never heard of.
Yeah.
From the paranormal shows where I, that Northeast Penitentiary, I ended up there.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, there's supposed to be a big mansion, too, that's haunted up in that area.
Yeah.
But the ex and I used to go and check these places out all throughout the Halloween time.
Uh-huh.
We had a ball, honest. Out of everything, though, Mansfield Prison just... It's a very strange place. And
yeah. A lot of evil. A lot of evil concentrated in that small area for years and years and years and years and years and years.
Well, then you start reading about the electric chair failures. And imagine, dude, there has to be some souls that are not resting well in that damn place. That's just one freaky, freaky place.
Yeah.
It really is.
So what about you, Joe? What are some of the things that are on your bucket list, or what is probably the most scary place that you went to where you just said, holy shit, you know, what would maybe one of the most haunted places you've been to?
So we've probably been to 20 ghost hunts within the last year, and the most haunted place we've been to was Poland Fire Department up here in the village of Poland.
Really?
And there's a... There, in the basement, it used to be sort of like a city building. So it wasn't always a fire station. It was also like a jail and a city administration building. And there's one room in the basement that where they had like three jail cells and somebody killed themselves. And we were hitting that room pretty hard to see if we can get something to happen. And we saw a full body apparition in this room. I'm a skeptic. So like,
yeah,
that kind of shit. I just, you know, try to dispute it right off the get go. The dude who was with me, like, he's never seen anything or heard anything like this. So when he saw a guy standing there with, like, you know, dead looking hair, he flew back against the wall. Like, I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Wow, that's a good one. So where you want to head to? You maybe Moundsville. Maybe we should take a trip down to Moundsville.
Totally. Yeah, we got two coming up. We got a place over in Warren, a private club over there that says that's haunted. They invite us to come in December. So we got a couple more coming up.
Yeah. Now, you still want to get out to Conneaut Lake, 100%. Too, the haunted hotel. The haunted hotel is definitely haunted by Elizabeth. And, you know, I mean, I've had some minor things in there. You know, it's one of those things that when it's there, you can feel it. You know, that's the thing, you know, when that temperature drops down and, you know, there's just that certain feeling that you get and, you know, it's just like, ooh, okay. You know, because I'll tell you one time, but see, anytime I've been at the Hotel Conneaut, it's a little hard for me to be, you know, there were definitely spirits. I was definitely touched by spirits. I was definitely touched by spirits. So I don't know how much of it was like in my brain, you know, but no, I'll tell you what, there was a couple times that I was sitting in there, you know, by myself, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you just kind of felt something like, okay, you know, like, you know, you kind of had the feeling like, you know, the one, I thought that it was like, you know, I thought that this spirit was in the room, and it was kind of like, he was kind of like, well, okay, now what? You know, he's like, okay, are you happy? You see this? Yeah. That's how it was. It was kind of like, okay, now what? Okay, you came here, now what? You know,
tough guy.
Yeah. But that's how it kind of seemed to me. But once again, was I half asleep? Was I a little messed up? Was I under the influence, or was it really something? But it seemed to me though that it was. Well, and you know, and I have seen different spirits of people, you know, before. Yeah, I have had encounters.
I've seen spirits of Jack Daniels.
Yeah. There's this guy named Jack, and there's this guy named Jose, and Johnny Walker.
Party with all of them.
Johnny Walker. It's coming through. Yeah. It's like, yeah, what is that? There's some spirits in this room. Jose, does the word name Jose mean anything to you? Jim Beam. Does that mean anything? Oh, man. Let's see.
Do around Halloween, you know?
Oh, okay. Ken says that they had Moundsville on the History Channel. They had a hanging down there back in the day, and people would come and get, oh, they would have hangings there, and they do have an electric chair. Oh, man. That's got to be pretty good.
There's an electric chair on display up at Mansfield. I won't put money on it, but I'm pretty sure there is.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, Ash is my Friday the 13th, 12 o'clock noon, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's evil as they get, dude. I'm telling you.
And I think she's possessed by spirits, too.
Yeah.
the spirit possession here today has been high. We didn't even do the bourbon taste today.
We're going to have to do an exorcism here real quick.
Yeah. Hey, as long as your head just spins around, there's no projectile vomiting, then we'll let you in.
We should be okay.
Yeah, we don't need to go any further than that. But yeah, those are some fun things. So Joe, where did you say you wanted to go? What's on your list? What's on your bucket list again? Oh, you said you're going to that private club, but
yeah.
I mean some big one that, like, you know, you guys might want to go to Moundsville. It looks like Moundsville is up. Oh, you were. So what did you find out about that?
You can book a ghost tour over there. So I think we're going to take them up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, Joe, go down to Philadelphia to the insane asylum.
All right.
I mean, that one is awesome. Philadelphia, it's what, Northeast Penitentiary, I think, is the first one you want to hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a thing offline. You go up there and you do a dinner at the one bar, and then you go up and do the tour of the prison. Again, that's an all-night stay. If you want to spend all night going through all the different cells, and that place is a little freaky, man. There was a couple things in there that were worth checking out. But the insane asylum and supposedly the tunnel from the hospital down to the morgue is supposed to be the hottest spot in that one, and I didn't get to make that one.
Oh, man.
I would go back in a New York minute to check it out, honestly.
Yeah, you got Joe
going and checking them things out.
You got Joe fired up. He's like, you know, he's ready. You see how fast he got on that other one, man, the Moundsville.
I've never heard of the Moundsville one. I want to say, God, I haven't. And we did this stuff every year religiously. I dragged the kids through them. Most people go and do fun things. Yeah, mine was tormenting the kids.
Well, that is fun stuff, though. You guys had fun doing this, right?
Dad would sit there and laugh hysterically and then fill the walls, and man, I think I just felt something. We did the show one where we had three different haunted houses in one.
2 hours away.
Actually, Moundsville's a nice little ride too. I'm surprised we never just went down there. That hillbilly hot dog stand is down around there. You know, Huntington is right down there. Huntington, Moundsville, they're all right down there. If you go, well, I know why, because Helmets in West Virginia.
That's
you know, yeah.
But we did make it to the bullpen.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, our riding, you guys did good this, you know, as always, but for me, well, you know what, I did all right.
I'm talking 100,000 in 4 years.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit behind on that, but, the only place I don't think I really made was Foxburg, and you guys went there today.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Ash came up, so we had to take her.
Yeah, could you believe, I didn't make it to Foxburg this year. I did make it to Cougar Bob's. Did make it to Presque Isle and Sandusky and Bullpen and a lot of different other places. But
the Bullpen is still the ultimate ride.
Yeah, that's a good time.
And we hit it with the colors being so bright.
Oh, you know what? I never was really a big fan of fall until I got a motorcycle. And once I got a motorcycle, fall has become my favorite time of year, especially when we go out on those days, 65 degrees, the colors are so bright. You know, the motorcycle is running just right, you know, no strain on the engine.
Did you notice that in the cool weather, our bikes run so much better?
Oh, yeah. Those last rides that we had, this fall were just really awesome, man. The bike was just running so right. And then when you get those sunny days, especially when the leaves were just peaking and the reds and the yellows, and you're just driving down these roads, and it's just like, you know, it was
breathtaking.
Yeah.
The oranges were like fluorescent. Oh. The reds were deep. And like you said, the colors were just, dude, you can't trip and see stuff like that. Okay. Just saying, the colors were just this year.
Yeah, they really were.
We're going to have a good fall leaf because of our drought.
Right, no, it was really good. You know, we went on that Zip It Up run, and we were up over there, over by Manaway and all that stuff. And, you know, and I'll tell you, even that day, the leaves were just so nice up through Garrettsville and all through there. And it was just like, it was so great. And that's why, you know, I mean, I was never a big fan of fall because it's always to me, okay, you know what it's going, you know where it's leading. I know where this ends, you know, but fall reminds me of years and years and years and years ago, Honda had an advertising slogan for motorcycles. They said you could look at the scenery or you could be a part of it. You know, and I think that's, I don't know why people don't use that slogan more. You know, that was from like the 60s, early 70s. And it really sums it up, especially when we've been riding in the fall with all those leaves and stuff, man. I mean, you could look at the scenery or be a part of it. And man, when you're going down those roads, or how about when we go down a road and it's like trees lined on both sides, and then there's just all those different colors, and you're just riding through the middle of it like you're going through this psychedelic tunnel of all these great colors.
And then how about all them big bucks this year that we've seen on our way down to the bullpen? The deer have been...
Oh, hey, you know what? I do got to give a shout out to our buddy Jody Fox. You probably saw him on the news today. Jody was riding down Route 11 this morning on his motorcycle, and a car hit a deer, and the deer flew up in the air and hit him on his bike. And fortunately, wow, he got away with minor injuries and, you know, bumps and bruises, but it was close, man.
On the way up to Foxburg today, so many new kills. The deer were just running crazy this year.
You know what? You know where I almost hit one? On DeCamp, on the west side of Youngstown by Bear's Den. You know, I must come out of the park, but this thing was a big ass buck. To be walking down the middle of the street in the city, you're like, man, this is crazy. But they are definitely on the move, man. They are definitely on the move.
Here is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. We're talking a deer. Albino deer?
Oh, yeah.
You see one.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen two?
You know what?
How about three?
I got to tell you, I did, because somebody showed me this exact video earlier today. That's the second time I saw this.
House, my buddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He has three albinos
that
come out and feed in his backyard.
How about that? Night. Yeah, we have some around the radio station too. Now, in the summer, they were kind of, you can get a little closer. Now they are just like, boom. But yeah, it is really a bad time of year for deer right now. So whether you're planning on another motorcycle ride or.
Today was probably going to be our last
race. I hate to say it too. I hate to say it too.
Not that I want
to
put mine away.
No. Yeah, but I think you're right. You know, any time you get beyond Halloween, you're doing okay. You're doing all right.
Yeah, we are.
All right, let's see here. Eastern Penitentiary. This is what Karen is saying. Okay, Eastern Pennsylvania. That's in Philadelphia. Okay, all right.
His room still has mohair carpet and his rocking chair. And,
wow, this place looks pretty scary too, man.
Yeah, it is.
That even in the day. Okay, yeah, there we go. There's some of the. I think they have.
It's like a big castle.
It's actually
a beautiful building.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. There's Al Capone's room. Yeah. It's all laid out and a little Tiffany lampshade and stuff.
Yeah. He was one of the few and his actually has mohair carpet in it.
Wow. Yeah. Some of these things, man, you look at like these buildings and how they're set up and stuff, you know, like in there, they got those big cast iron radiators. How many people got their heads beat in on that radiator? You know, think about that, that they jump somebody and just start banging their head into there.
Well, Mansfield, when you go up there, it's a big sandstone building. And the actual part of the cells is a big steel cage right in the middle of it.
Mm.
And, you know, when the ghost hunters are there and they you could hear them tapping on the pipes. Well, excuse me, but it's pipe seven stories high. So if you tap on the bottom, you're going to hear it up the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But still... Dude, the things that happen there and the deaths in the chair and
I'm looking at this Eastern State. Chapel. Yeah, this Eastern State, man. I mean, you look at like these walkways and stuff. You could just imagine the crazy stuff that had to go down like on that walkway or something, you know. And you're talking about a time when you didn't have a lot of electronic surveillance and stuff like that. I can only imagine the crazy things that must have gone down in there.
Eastern Penitentiary, their guard shack was in the middle, and you had five or six different areas that walked down through the cells.
Uh-huh.
That place gives you the willies right off the bat, okay? There's a lot of bad juju that happened there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, excuse me, the history, I go in and like up in Mansfield, when I was there, the guard areas still had their prison records. So you could sit there and flip through the records and see who the people were and
what
was going on. I found that more interesting than I did the ghost hunt.
Yeah. You know what? That would really be interesting.
The thing that blew my mind is we took pictures at night. Now you got to remember they leave 150 people in this place at night.
Mm-hmm.
That's 150 people walking through a place that hasn't had a floor swept since the 70s. So you got all this dust. And they're, orbs. Excuse me. That's dust that you're getting them orbs from.
Yeah.
However, when they sit there with the balls and the EMF meters up in different hot spots, like Joe said, the attic, the chapel was supposed to be one of the hottest areas in that prison to go to.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
It's just insane.
Hey, like Joe, come in here. I want to run something by you. I'll tell you, man. The old fizzle wig gets the Fast Freddy seal of approval.
Nice.
I think I'm an old fizzle wig type person now.
Been fizzled.
Yeah, I've been fizzled. Now, even though I fizzled out years ago, but now I've been fizzled again. I've been refizzled.
And you're gonna admit that.
Hey, Brandon, checking in. What's up, Brandon? Chef James says we got to get some Basil Hayden bourbon.
Oh. Yes, you do.
Okay. Joe, you writing that down?
Basil Hayden.
And that's from Chef.
I went to the state store up here today because remember I kept telling you got to try this Jack Bond.
Yeah. Okay. You finally found some?
I can't get it up here. I should have got it when I was down in Tennessee. And do not drink Wolf Moon bourbon from Jason Aldean. It was not all that in a cup of tea.
Really? No. So he's just one of those guys, let's make some bourbon and put it out there. And because my name's on it, people are going to like it. And we'll, even if it fizzles, we'll make a.
When you went to the tasting, you had a ticket. And when they don't take your ticket and they bring out one of them trays like they did at the wedding.
Yeah, like, come on, fellas. Hey, don't make Jason Aldean feel bad. Drink some of his bourbon, guys. Come on.
Drank it, but it wasn't worth it. When you see more half-full shot glasses on the counter.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like the BV and the peach schnapps at the wedding.
Exactly. You're drinking it because you want to be happy with them.
Yeah.
You're celebrating and sorry.
I can't imagine over the years, you know, when I used to really do a lot of weddings and stuff, how many BV or peach schnapps, because they do the dance with the bride and the groom, they do the money dance. And then when you were done, they would have all those shots there.
Yes.
And then
take your shot, go dance.
Right. And then I would be like, you know, since I was standing there. So then of course, you know, whatever's left, the best man or the wedding party, I'll come up there. Hey, come on, blah, 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 you know, and you're like, the last thing I really want to drink is either BV or peach schnapps. But you know, then you're kind of, obligated.
Yes, you cannot turn it down because it's hospitality.
Right, exactly.
And these people are giving to you because.
Right, right. No, seriously. You can't go there. Yeah, no, you can't go there. Oh, yeah, no, I don't drink BV. Yeah.
Johnny Walker.
Yeah. Where's that gentleman Jack at? Listen, well, you got to figure. If you're going to hire me, it's probably going to be that kind of wedding anyways that, you know. BV is what we're going to expect. I go together with BV.
Did you say BV or BD?
A little bit of both. The BV led to the VD.
I got that. Okay. Notes.
Oh, man. But that's, yeah, that was pretty good.
Ash was saying you want a good haunted place, you got to go down to Oatman, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Oatman.
Haunted, and it has the Jesus donkeys that roam free through the streets, but it's an old mining town, and it's haunted.
And that's called what? Oatman.
Oatman,
O-A-T-M-A-N. Let's look that up.
A haunted hotel there, too, that has a lot of guests, or a lot of...
You can check in, but you can never leave. Isn't that Hotel California?
Oatman, Arizona.
That's only about 30 minutes away from
where there's all kinds of ass there, but you can't get any.
You know what? It's kind of funny because when you go to the city's website, they got a picture of a donkey off the bat.
That's the mayor of the town.
That's the mayor.
Yes, Walter the mayor. It's no lie. When you go up there is donkeys everywhere.
The northwest corner of Arizona is a town full of rugged characters and burros.
It's really something to go to, and yeah, it's got a haunted little history to it.
All right, Oatman.
The saloon.
Oh, and it's on Route 66.
Yes, it is.
Oh man,
that was part of my journey cross country.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one there, man.
That's a long ride.
Yeah. Well, you figure. Don't worry, you know some people in Arizona. Yeah, there you go. You got some friends in Arizona. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't say friends, acquaintances. Yeah, define friends. Here, you know what? Let's you know, I was thinking about this haunted house stuff, and what about you, Joe? I mean, do you think with all these murders in the inner cities now, do you think that there are some haunted street corners or anything? Like if you were to go, say, on the south side of Youngstown and some of these streets where there've been a lot of murders and stuff, do you think that there would be some kind of paranormal activity?
Isn't there, you would think. You would think there would be. I think the problem is that you can't get it quiet enough or dark enough. So outside in the city street, it'll run right by your senses because everything else is so loud.
Uh-huh.
Isn't there something with that cemetery across from Southside Hospital?
Oh, no. I haven't heard anything about that. I'll tell you what, though. Oak Hill Cemetery is just an awesome place just to go. They do cemetery tours through there. They have some of the most interesting tombstones and monuments and markers and statues. I love that place, man. I've been there more than once just to snap a few pictures and some of the crypts that they have in there and the mausoleums. And that is a wild, wild place.
Well, supposedly that, remember you brought it up earlier, the 4 mile run at White Church.
Yeah.
That used to be campus life, scream in the dark.
Right. One of the very first haunted houses out there.
Now, supposedly that little cemetery there is supposed to be a hot spot and haunted.
Huh.
That was some of the best times, some of the best campus life put on the best haunted houses.
And then I think that was the first one you would go on the sliding board on the way out.
Right into the cemetery.
Yeah, yeah. Well, since we're talking about that too, I got to give a plug for the Youngstown Model Railroad Association. They got their open house coming up at that exact location. I think they got one weekend this coming weekend and then two weekends in December. If you have never been there, it is one of the best model railroad setups out there.
See.
Yeah.
They have to have years in construction.
Oh,
I mean, it is so detailed.
And then they have a whole Youngstown scene, and then they have they're finishing up their steel mill. Now I remember when they first started doing it, and I haven't been up there for a year or so. Well, COVID knocked things off, and I haven't been up there since then. But you know, I saw some pictures of the most recent one with this steel mill, and where they took it to from the last time I was there. I mean, it's just amazing on what these guys do.
That's people with a lot of time, patience, talent.
The detail that these guys put into this stuff, you know, every little thing. And then, you know, I mean, there are certain things that, you know, happen, you know, the railroad buffs would only recognize that, you know, oh, well, that would never happen on a real railroad. And these guys try to make everything as authentic as it. Yeah. You know, they have an amusement park out there. They even have things like a guy sitting on a bank with a fishing pole and just, you know, fire trucks battling a fire and the steel mill, though, that they have been working on. They've been working on that now for about 5 years, and it just keeps getting bigger and better. And you look at this stuff and you go, damn, you know?
That's people with a lot of time and talent.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of... Like I said, you go back in history and they've got it to scale, and it's old Youngstown.
Oh, yeah. I remember when they first started doing that, and they used to do it. They had an old New York Central Railroad station right down the road from here, right on the end of the bridge.
289?
Yeah. Yeah, right there at the end of the bridge. And when the railroad station closed down, they took it over as their club. And I can remember as a young kid, me and my dad would go down there every year. And it was a big deal for us to go down there, you know. And then over the years, I took my kids there, you know, and I know a lot of the guys that are out there and everything. But, every year they gave away an electric train set. You signed up to win the door prize every year. Now, I've been going to that thing since I've been about 6 years old, and I have yet
to win your train.
To win my train set. Yeah, that's all I'm trying. I just 1 year want to win the train set at the Model Railroad Show. Is that asking too much? Some people want to win the $2 billion. I just want to win the train set just on general principles.
I just want to win on your scratch-offs at Bike Night.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I'll tell you, me personally, I think if I had $300,000, I would be happy. If I could take a collection or a GoFundMe, and I would cut it off at $300,000. So if anybody would like to help me,
for the kids with no forehead phones.
Yeah, right, right. For Zombie Land. For Zombie Land. I'm going to help Zombie Land.
Our zombies are getting hungry.
Right. And help me feed the zombies in Zombie Land.
Need new rags. From, you know, getting old and tattered.
Somebody's got to do something. But, you know, no, $300,000. That, how about the guy that bet all that money on the World Series and ended up winning $75 million, but he had to bet like $7, $8 million. Now, you know, we spend a lot of time in bars, and you see, I could bet $10 on Keno and not win. Okay, never. And you know what? And then I sit there after I lose the 10 bucks, 15 bucks, 20 bucks. And then you sit there and go,
you spending
20 and yeah. Oh yeah. That's the worst. But so you sit there and you're just kind of like, you know, you get bummed out that you lost 20 bucks. Anyway, I'm not a gambler when it comes to that. No, I have too much other things that I have to spend my money on. But obviously, first of all, if you have a motorcycle, chances are, you know.
Nobody explained that HD was $100 for minimum pieces.
Okay? Yeah, right.
Told me that stuff. You know, you want the Harley Davidson, though, that HD's $100, dude. That's minimum price. Yeah,
to walk in the door. I don't care if you want a part, if you want a t-shirt, whatever. You're walking in the door. It's $100 cover charge. It's like there's a $100 cover charge at the Harley shop, you know. Yeah, and sure. But, you know, I mean, could you imagine sitting there? First of all, I think if you have $7-8 million to bet on the World Series, first of all, you have too much money. Obviously, you really don't care. And they called the guy the Mattress King. I guess he's a big furniture guy in Houston. And he bet all this money, and I think he ended up winning $75 million, but he laid down like $7 million, and he was betting. Dude, but I'm just sitting there.
Different ways.
Yeah. All of a sudden, this casino is now saying the Astros are going to win, and it's 12-1 or whatever. And this guy throw $1 million on it. You know,
it takes money to make money.
Well, I guess so, but, you know.
I guess I'm going to be poor.
Yeah, you know.
I look at it this way, Fred. I came into this world with nothing. I got half of it left. I'm doing fine.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you know, but expect nothing. Go for it, you know.
But I couldn't imagine even betting like $1 million on something and with the possibility of losing it.
I just want
to
a million $1 bills and a 20 some year old hot chick with big boobs. And we're going to go swimming through them dollar bills.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, or you're going to use that for healthcare, right?
There you go.
For your hospital stay.
That'll make me really
for your, I'm going to use that money for Viagra and the pacemaker when my ticker goes out.
I was eating too much Viagra.
But what a way to go, right?
Hey, you know, you take that and come and go at the same time. Dude, what a way to go.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a stiff joke in there somewhere but I'll just let it go. You folks that are following at home, you can fill in the blanks.
How we get on this from haunted house?
Yeah, I don't know where we take. You know what? When it starts getting late in the evening and it's almost time to wrap things up.
You've been drinking, I've been thinking.
Yeah, which is usually the opposite. Well, sometimes I do a little both. You know, a little both. I do some drinking and some thinking. But I'll tell you what, the old Fizzlewig, I'm a fan.
I thought maybe it had cherry hint to it or.
No, this is caramel. And toffee, caramel and toffee.
See, then if that's got caramel and toffee, you would really like the Jack Bonded because it's high. The caramel, the vanilla, and the toffee. Oh,
yeah. So it's got all hints of all that in there.
It's just so good and smooth.
Sometimes I have a hard time detecting all that when I pound a shot, though. You know, when I just go, The only thing I could tell from that is the limestone water and the charcoal mellowed barrel. That's the that's the two things that I pick up when I just pound a shot. You know, woo.
Something wrong with you.
I'm just telling you the way it is, man.
I got to go back down to Tennessee. My show should be coming back up to Moonshiners. Dude, I truly want to learn that crap.
Well, you know what? When a couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Sue on, and she is like a bourbon
aficionado.
Yes, aficionado. Truly, she's a veterinarian, so she's got a little bit of cash, and you know, she throws it, you know, but she's been to every bourbon tour. She knows every little thing about every bourbon. Now, here's the funny thing. Jay Bird wants to get in on making his own booze, okay? So we run into this guy at Quaker Steak and Lube who does it. Okay, so he's got like the basic setup. He's already like 500 steps ahead. He thinks he's making Buffalo Trace or something. You know, this guy's saying, well, listen, you get this tube and you can buy a kit. And he's already starting with, well, what I want though is, now I want this certain corn. Now we only, now when you do this, and this guy's going, look, you get a bag of sugar, you mix it up, you mash it up, and you put the meander water in. And he's like, well, no, well, he watches all these shows, and all of a sudden, I'm just sitting there, I'm going, Jay, pay attention, just listen to this guy to get you started. And he's going, oh, well, what about this? But now, if you don't use this certain kind of corn that's grown in this soil, and I'm like, dude, wait, learn how to make it. Hook up the steel for crying out.
I don't want to run ethanol, dude. I don't want something to run my car. I want something to go down.
Well, you got to learn how to do it first. I don't think you're going to jump in there right off the bat.
You've got to have natural things. Chlorine in the water and fluoride is not natural.
Okay, I'll give you that.
You know. But
what I'm saying is get the, you know, make a batch. At least see, you know, how you're supposed to do it. You're already wanting to make Gentleman Jack in your bathtub. You got to, you know, I think you got to work up to it. I think you got to work up to it is what I'm saying. I think you're a couple steps ahead. And when Dr. Sue was here, when she was talking about all this stuff about what goes in and, you know, how you can detect this. And when they make it, they put this in and they do this and with the barrel, you know. And I'm sitting there and I was thinking of you going, okay, this is what Jay Bird wants to make, but yes, you're going to make it in your garage in Austintown. So you got to maybe start to at least, you know, hook something up and, you know, make the ethanol and put it in the bike or something.
Then
you
again,
know.
I was out at the Iron Horse out there off 422.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever drank can of beer?
Can of beer?
Can of beer.
Oh, like cannabis. Cannabis beer. Okay.
420 Sweetwater.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude, the kush that they had out there was, you take a sip and then you just breathe in. Oh, it's heavenly.
Now they sell that around here?
Yes, they do.
Okay, but now is it real deal?
Cannabis beer.
Okay, now, but do you get the buzz like if you bought cannabis beer in, say, Michigan where it's legal?
I don't know, because edibles just don't really do a lot for me.
Uh-huh.
If I'm gonna do it, I'm smoking it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right with me. If that's how you feel, then I guess you're all right then. Yeah.
But I only ever did the one, and beer's beer to me. Okay.
Okay.
But it's the aftertaste when you set that thing down, you breathe in. It's like.
Oh, so it's more. It's almost more of a novelty though than it is. Than it is like. Okay, because now when you go to some of them, you know, dispensaries in Michigan and stuff, they got all different kind of though cannabis brew or stuff, that cannabis soda pop that really is that you're gonna that you're gonna drink that and you know, get an extra buzz on somehow.
Yeah,
I guess it's an edible. It's a drinkable. It's a drinkable.
Yeah, I was warned about drinking root beer in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the first things I got.
Yeah, a Colorado root beer. They used to say Colorado Kool-Aid. Now you want the Colorado root beer. Oh, man.
I sunk into the couch, and that's about where I stayed.
All right. Let's see here. Karen says, Sweetwater Mango Kush.
Yes. And it's brewed by, Sweetwater Brewing Company, and its logo is Sweetwater 420.
How do I not know all this stuff?
Because you didn't go out and go riding with us all summer.
Well, I did, but I can't go out during the weekday. Some of us have a thing we call a job. Yeah, some of us have to have somewhere where we got to go every day to make sure that we have money to put in the gas tank. No, you know what? I was thinking about that today, you know, because I saw you guys were out at Foxburg, and I'm just sitting there going, you know what, son of a bitch, these guys will bust my balls. Oh, hey, guess where we went today? I got to work. I got a job, you know.
This is the first time in 2 years my daughter came into town. So yeah. I promised her if it was nice, I would take her out.
Yeah, oh, yeah, awesome. Hey, I'm not.
When I told Dad when I was coming in, I was like, make sure you tell Fred that I'm coming in. I got to see him, make fun with Browns, and get my brogies.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But anyways, that's what, you know, some of us have to work. So, you know what? I come to terms with that, like, over the last couple of days, maybe even today when I saw that picture of Foxburg, or maybe yesterday, and, you know, or maybe it was on my way to, you know, the radio station today, and I'm looking out there, and I'm seeing all these bikes, and I'm passing bike after bike after bike, and I was just like, this is killing me. But somebody had to make the pierogies for Ash today. Yeah. Well, you guys are out roaming around and gallivanting and having fun in Foxburg. Where am I? Slaving over a hot kettle. Slaving over a hot kettle. Stirring.
Not
cooking.
People know that you're the pierogi king.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hidden talent.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, you can't, you don't want to spread the word on that. You got to keep that, like, on the, you know, because it takes away, you know, be like, you know, you can't, you know, if you're Clark Kent, you can't tell everybody you're Superman.
Pizza and pierogi in Youngstown. Come on. Yeah, I mean, two things we're known for, honey food and Italian food.
Yeah. The pizza is just insane. The pizza around here is just insane.
The stuff they're putting on the pizzas now.
You know, even you could go to New York City, and it's just like, you know.
It's
not
the same.
No. I mean, you know, they got their Brooklyn, their thin slice or whatever. But, I mean, beyond that, I mean, you don't have Briar Hill. You don't have Sicilian. You don't have, you know, every different kind. It's –
Favorite in this area has got to be Giannino's
Four Cheese. Oh yeah, Giannino's God. Pizzeria. You know what? I could tell you a little bit about Giannino's. You know what makes Giannino's taste so good? Fresh ingredients every day. And it's in their cheese. It's in their cheese.
It really is, because I can't find anybody.
Fresh shredded provolone daily.
Go up and get their four cheese blend. Oh, my God. And it has.
And you know what else they have right now? Brownie Bites. And you know what else? It's their sauce.
Their sauce is to die for.
These are all just talking points from the Giannino's Pizzeria 5 o'clock traffic jam on Y103. I know a lot. I know a lot about Giannino's.
Oh, dude. I know
it. You want a piece of me? You got to love their commercials. You want a piece of me? Whoever come up with that one, I got to. Oh, that's, you know, I think we better wrap it up. It's almost 9:30. I still got more stuff that I have to do this evening. And it was just good.
That W thing again, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to do all kinds. Yeah.
We brought you a snack. We were out with Susie's Dogs and Drafts.
That's awesome.
Dude, whoever says you can't get full on one dog, that son of a bitch is good.
Okay, I can't wait. So we got that. I don't know. We ready to wrap things up?
Yeah, wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, Winoski family stopping by today and just, you know. So anyways, thanks, Karen. We'll see you out there somewhere. Karen enjoyed the show today. Chef James, always good to hear from you, my man. Joe Danier, as always, another enjoyable time here. And believe it or not, people, I do have guests coming up. I do have guests. I talk to people all the time, and then it's like, okay, we're coming on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then it's like, but within the next few weeks or months, but, you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up. We got Christmas coming up.
Holidays.
You know, it's like I just have so much stuff to do. Or like
we're
I was
going to have to go Christmas shopping with Fast Food.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll go to Sassy Sensations. Now, if you want to do that, here's all you got to do. I will meet you. I will meet you at the Pilot Truck Stop Christmas Eve at about 11:30 at night, and we'll go
we'll
in.
Go
and we'll get everything done.
You know, landscaped
and trucked up. Hey. You know what? There's somebody on your list that definitely wants a velvet painting of Scarface in the worst way. There is somebody out there that wants that, and when they open it, you know, they
You're
will.
Just gonna make their day.
That's what I say. If you can't find it at a truck stop at 11:30 at night on Christmas Eve, you're not really trying. So yeah,
there's something wrong with you.
Hey, I'm just practical, man. All right, guys. Everybody, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Another good time. I'll catch you tomorrow, 3 o'clock on Y103. Check out the Giannino's Pizzeria, 5 o'clock traffic jam. Fresh ingredients every day make for a great-tasting pizza. For a location near you, Giannino's.com. And what else we got coming up? I should have, you know what? I should have started the show off with all these announcements. Now everybody's gone. Like, okay, these assholes, I'm done with this. Front row seats tomorrow for TSO. Sandra Miller will be giving those away in the noon hour. And starting next week, we have tickets to see Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks together in Columbus. That's going to be crazy. And we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Oh, and I'll see you at Robert Cray on Saturday. At Robin's Theater in downtown Warren. That's going to be a great show, too. Maybe if I get an extra ticket, I'll slide one your way. Maybe you and Vinny can come down and.
Cool.
Because that's going to be a great show, man. We were supposed to play my interview with
Robin's
Robert Cray, but.
Having a lot of good shows.
Oh, awesome place, right price, good. There's nothing bad about that place. It is just, it's just killer. So I guess that's it. So I don't know. Drink old Fizzlewig. Yeah. Well, we have fizzled out.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate